In the religious world, there are many, many things that are discussed, that are debated, that are argued, and that are even fought over, aren't there? But there is one thing that all religions who profess to be Christian religions, and I put that in quotation marks, agree on. And that one thing is this: Christians are supposed to be individuals who do good works. This year at Oceanside, our theme is very simply this: doing what I can do. Notice the little word I in the center of that. It's personal, folks. It's not about what others can do. It's not about what the elders can do, what the preacher can do. It's about what I, as an individual, can do. This morning, we want to talk about the subject: doing what I can do in good works. We're going to be looking at 5 points in the course of this lesson. And the first one is this: you and I have been saved to do good works. Isn't that amazing? And the Bible teaches that in at least 2 places. One of the verses is Titus 2 verse 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Usually that's the only thing we talk about, is it not? We've been redeemed in order to be saved from our sins, and we rejoice in that. But Paul didn't stop there. He didn't put a period there. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, listen to him, zealous of what? Good works. My friends, God not only wanted to save you, he wanted you working in the kingdom. He wants us doing good works. Paul also writes in Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship. Now listen to him. Created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God created us in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works. Every day when I wake up, I need to be asking myself, what good works can I do today for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Not only have we been saved to do good works, but the Bible also commands us to do good works in several places. Matthew 5, 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Matthew 5, verse 16. Isn't that interesting? The way I let my light shine is by doing what? Is by doing good works. Paul talks to Titus in Titus 3, 8, and he says this: this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. If I were to ask you, how many in here believe in God? How many would raise their hand? Now be careful, because if you believe in God, you have to be careful to do what? Maintain good works. That's what Paul says, isn't it? You see, he's commanding those who believe in God to do good works. Titus 3, verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Over and over and over again, we are commanded to do good works. We've been saved to do good works. We've been commanded to do good works. And I find it interesting that specific people in the Bible are commanded to do good works. Who are they? How about this one? Christian women. Now folks, don't get mad at me. Okay? I didn't write that. Paul wrote that, 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 10. Women professing godliness with what? Good works, he says. Christian women, God expects doing good works. But how about this next one? Widows indeed. In the first century church, not all widows were supposed to be taken into the number and supported by the church. They had to be widows indeed. They had to meet certain qualifications. And one of the qualifications was this, that she do good works. I find it interesting that Paul commands the rich to do good works. Who better to do good works, right? They have wealth. They have treasures. They have money. They have the ability, the resources to do good works. And Paul says, I want the rich people to be rich in good works. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. But I turn to one other passage, and guess what? Paul jumps on preachers. So women say he's on me too. He says that preachers are to be a pattern of good works. Titus 2, verse 14. So we have what? I'm created to do good works. I'm commanded to do good works. Certain people in the congregation are authorized to do good works. We're here worshiping our Lord today, aren't we? Now, I realize that the main purpose for which we are here is to honor our Father which is in heaven. But there are secondary purposes of our worship, folks. And one of those purposes is for you and me to gather with one another, and we provoke one another. And that little word provoke means this, to incite, to stir up, you might say, to agitate a little bit. Not to bad things. Paul says, but to love and good works. Notice, and let us consider one another. To provoke unto love and good works. Now notice the period's not put there, is it? The sentence continues. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Exhorting us to what? Love and good works. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, when you miss the worship services, when you skip the worship services, when you forsake the worship services, guess what you miss? You miss an opportunity to provoke your brethren to love and good works. It's not a matter of just skipping the service. There's more to it than that. God wants us to be together. He wants us to see one another. And He wants each one of us encouraging each other to be the best people we can be. And a part of that is doing what? Loving one another and doing good works. People get down. People get discouraged. They get depressed. They want to quit. And guess what? We come together. And what do? We encourage one another. Keep going. Keep doing what you need to do. Be faithful all the way to death. And when I see one doing it, guess what? I know I can do it too. Worship is about provoking us to good works. Wow. Let's talk about point number two. Types of good works. And there are four of them that I want to talk about. The first one is this. There are small individual tasks that we can do that are good works. How do I know that? Because Jesus talked about giving a cup of cold water to others, didn't he? Matthew 10, 42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Just a what? Just a cup of cold water. That's all it is. A phone call. We have a program here at Oceanside that we contact those who visited us, individuals who've missed the worship. And guess what, folks? It's just an ability to do what? Good works, isn't it? A dessert. Taking a meal to somebody who's sick. Going and picking up someone and taking them to the store, taking them to the doctor's office. Cutting a neighbor's yard. Individual, single little acts of service that we do are good works. Now what's interesting about that is this. Many Christians do those good works on a regular basis, and guess who knows about it? Only the one who does it, only the one who's a recipient, and God Almighty. Do those little acts of service. We'll talk about the blessings of those more in just a minute. How about this next one? There are some individuals who do individual ministries within congregations. It's not authorized by the congregation. They do it as an individual. Ever heard of a woman by the name of Dorcas? We read about her in Acts the 9th chapter, don't we? She's also known as Tabitha. Notice what the text says. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Wow. The question is, what did she do? And the Bible tells us, doesn't it? You drop down just three verses, Acts 9 verse 39. Peter comes in. Dorcas has died. All the women are weeping. All the women are crying. And guess what they do? They go over and they pick up these coats. They pick up these garments and they show Peter the coats and the garments which Dorcas has made while she was with them. Here's a woman who had the ability to sew. And what did she sew? Coats and garments. And gave those things out to individuals who were poor. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You see, there are those in the congregation who find little niches wherein service is needed, and guess what they do? They provide those services. There's some women in congregations who can sew, and they sew for others. I knew a little woman, she was 101 years old. You know what she did? She sat at home and she wrapped yarn around plastic clothes hangers. And you go to visit her, and she'd give you 12 of those every time you visit. Here, take these home and hang your clothes on those. Wasn't much. 101. Two broken hips. And yet she was laboring for the cause of Christ. Simple act of service. And everybody knew. Almost everybody had a closet full of her hangers. There are some individuals in congregations like to give gifts to others. They remember birthdays. They remember anniversaries. They remember special occasions, do they not? That's their ministry. They find that little niche and they work in that niche. Sometimes men in congregations get together and they do building projects for those in need in churches. They build ramps. They build stairs. They make home improvements in the elderly. It's not because there's a program in the church that says, you got to do this. They want to do it. It's their talent, their ability. My friends, those are works of service, are they not? Sometimes congregations are involved in good works, and maybe they're just one-time programs. Somebody calls and says, hey, we need some Bibles down at the prison. Well, how many do you need? About 400. So the church goes in gear, raises money, buys 400 Bibles for the prison. One-time work, but all the members are involved in something like that. Maybe a missionary is going on a trip into a foreign country and they're going to do a medical mission. And he says, you know what? We need all the eyeglasses we can get. And so what do individuals do? Start bringing in their glasses for those individuals in those mission fields. Sometimes we do change for children, do we not? Just a one-time project through the year, 2 or 3 months, you gather all the change you can, put it in a little can, and that can goes to the children's home. Sometimes we collect medications for missionaries, and on the list goes. Single, one-time contributions. And then there's sometimes we also have full programs involving good works in the church. Right now we have a clothing closet, do we not? And every month that clothing closet is open for 3 hours and individuals take advantage of that. How many? 24, something like that this past time? Over 35 last time, right around there? Guys, people in the community are dependent upon our clothing closet. They know about it. And we have regular individuals who come and take those things. A few years ago, we did food boxes, did we not? And that went for a period of 9 months. Meals for shut-ins, baby blankets. At the Eastwood congregation, a group of women are involved in a baby blanket program. They come together, make little baby blankets, and every baby who is born at the Henry County Hospital gets one of those blankets. They took it to a woman who had a baby in the hospital. They got there, and she had been born in that hospital and still had her blanket with her when her little baby was born. There's all kinds of programs that we can be involved in to do good works. We can do it individually. We can do it as a congregation. They may be one-time programs. They may be something that we do as a ministry in our own lives. I can do this. And we devote our time and attention to it. But my friends, there are opportunities, tons of them, to do good works. I find it interesting that the Bible is our guide when it comes to these good works. Isn't that what Paul said? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto what? All good works. Folks, right here is the guide for our good works. Okay? This is what sets the parameters. We've already talked about the fact that this book authorizes good works, commands good works. But the Bible talks a lot more about that, and we can go into a whole sermon, could we not? You see, the Bible talks about the type of good works we can do, the kind of attitude that we need when we do good works. Folks, you don't gripe and complain, oh, I got to do this. You're going to gripe and complain, just stay home. I don't want you doing good works, just stay home. Just a hindrance, aren't you? The Bible tells us the effort that should be put into our good works. Whatsoever thy hand find to do what? Do it with thy might. Give it your all. How many of us just kind of halfway practice our Christianity? Folks, that's not what God wants. He wants it all our might, all our power put into our labors. And the Bible also talks about the purpose of our good works. So the Bible is the standard. The Bible is the guide. The Bible is the authority when it comes to our good works. But I want us to focus on that last point. What are the purposes of good works? I'm going to talk about three of them real quickly. Number one, so that others will glorify God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Wow. We live in a world today where not everybody is geared to do good works. Isn't that true? In fact, in our world today, individuals are consumed with self and don't care much about other people. In many places. It's just sad, isn't it? And then all of a sudden a Christian comes along. Christian moves next door. And all of a sudden this Christian is doing wonderful things to help his or her neighbor. And that individual begins to wonder, who in the world is this person? What in the world are you doing? And then all of a sudden they find out what? We're Christians, aren't we? We love those individuals. We care for those individuals. We want the best for those individuals, and we help them, don't we? And my friends, our help and our assistance, when those people know we are Christians, causes those individuals to glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Thank God someone who believes in God has moved in next to me and is willing to assist with my struggles and my problems. And God is glorified. How about this next one? Our good works are good and profitable unto men.
Go back to Titus 3, verse 8. I didn't read the entirety of the verse. It says this: this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which believe in God be careful to what? Maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Folks, our good works are designed to help and assist others. About a month ago, I told Kathleen, I said, you know, I need some new dress shoes. And you can't hardly find good black dress shoes in the market. Drives me nuts. You can find brown. You can't find good black ones anywhere, hardly. So you go to all these expensive stores and you start looking for these shoes and you finally find a pair, and guess what? They are $200. $200? $100 per foot. You go, man. So Kathleen says, no, we go into the discount store. So we do. And I walk in. $109. $55 a foot for shoes. Unbelievable. But they're half as cheap as what they were in the other store. So I take them to the register, I check out, and they have them on special. $74.99. Hoorah. $32.50 a foot. Folks, that's a lot of money, isn't it? To clothe your feet. Got them on my feet right now. I know what y'all are going to do when you leave. You're going to look at my feet and you're going to, you paid that for those? Point I'm making is this: our clothing closet has free shoes for people in our community. They don't have to spend $75, $100, $200. We give it to them for free. You don't think that helps people? It helps them. A coat helps them. We have several individuals who come through that clothing closet who are homeless individuals. They just live out on the streets. Folks, when it gets cold in January and February and they leave, I wonder, how in the world do you make it out there? You know how they make it? By a couple of our blankets, a coat that we give them, some socks that are provided. Good works are what? Profitable and necessary for human beings. We feed the body, we clothe the body, we bring comfort, we bring happiness. We help to alleviate some of their afflictions. Good works are necessary for other human beings. And they profit by what we do. How about this one? To bear fruit. Again, I didn't finish the verse a while ago fully, or didn't talk about it. Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not what? Unfruitful. Folks, there's a lot of different ways you and I can produce fruit. Do you know that? If you and I go out into the world, preach the gospel, and we convert individuals, we bring fruit unto God, don't we? Paul said that's one of the reasons he wanted to go to Rome. That I might have some fruit among you also, he says. I can bear fruit by adding Christian graces into my life. Remember the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And another way I bear fruit is by doing good works. I want you to remember what our Lord said in John 15, 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear what? Much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Folks, our God wants us using every avenue that he has provided for us to bring forth fruit unto him. And one of those is doing good works. Let's ask a question. Why do we not do good works? Some people are just ignorant, aren't they? Maybe they just haven't studied the Bible enough to know that good works are commanded. Or maybe they are ignorant of many of the good works that they could be involved in, and therefore they just don't. Ignorance sometimes hinders our good works. How about this one? Doing good works takes too much time. And sometimes it takes a lot of time, doesn't it? You're going to be involved in the clothing closet on Saturday. You got to be here 3 hours, don't you? 3 hours of my Saturday? Are you kidding me? Give up my Saturday? It takes time. Some works do, don't they? How about this next one? I don't have the talent. Or at least I don't think I have the talent. You may have the talent. Some of those individuals who go out and they build things for individuals, you know, sometimes they just like to have a helper, a runner, a gopher. They go for this and go for that. That helps those individuals, does it not? Hurries up their work. And in the process, I might learn how to do some things, and over the course of time, I might be the very one doing the building and somebody else the gopher. Now, it costs too much money. And I sure don't want to give up too much of my money to help others, do I? Sometimes we're just not interested in certain efforts. Who wants to do that? Ever have that attitude? Maybe it's inconvenient for us, isn't it? Just inconvenient. I have to cancel some plans. I've got to rearrange my schedule. Who wants to do all that kind of stuff? Maybe there's no glory in it for us. Your name's not going to be in the spotlight. There's not going to be any thank yous. You're not going to receive a plaque at the end of the year with your name on it. I'm not going to be involved in those kind of works. How about this one? We don't see any profit in it. For 3 years, maybe it was four, we did our bus stop program out here every Thursday morning. 9 years ago, we came in contact with Asia Nicole. 9 years ago, for the first time. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, Asia was baptized into Christ. 9 years before that first contact ever brought forth fruit. That's a long time, isn't it? And during those 9-year period, what we have a tendency to do is this: it ain't working. Don't need to do that no more. Just a waste of time. Are you kidding? Folks, you don't know what fruit's going to be brought forth from your labors and what you're doing. It's unbelievable. If we don't see any benefit in it, off it goes. It isn't easy to do. And there's some things that are hard that need to be done. If it isn't easy to do, I just really don't want to do it. You see, we got all kinds of excuses, don't we? Folks, we need to remember something. Jesus was a doer of good works. On one occasion, he was speaking to the Jews, and he says this: "My many good works have I what? Showed you from my Father. Many good works." Peter at the household of Cornelius said this: "How God hath anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about what? Doing good." That's what Jesus did. He went about doing good, healing all that were afflicted of the devil, for God was with him. Now, why is that important? Because if I'm going to be like Jesus, I better do good works. He that saith he abideth in him ought what? Ought also to walk, even as he walked. If you're really going to claim that you're a Christian, if you're really going to claim that you're abiding in Jesus, if you're really going to claim that I'm a faithful follower of the Lord, then I walk exactly the way he walked, and he did good works. Now watch this. Folks, I realize it is impossible for us to be involved in every good work. You can't do it. It's an impossibility, isn't it? And that's not the point of the lesson. The point of the lesson is this. God wants us being zealous in good works. When He looks at our lives, He wants to see us involved in a multitude of good works. Our lives need to be boiling over with those kind of works. Our tree needs to be filled with the fruit of good works. I want to close with two verses. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now listen to him. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their what? Works. If you don't think God is interested in your works, then you better read that passage again. I'm going to be judged according to my works. Second verse. Still talking about judgment. Paul says this, Romans 2:10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that does what? Worketh good. To the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Folks, Paul is contrasting the two ends of judgment. And he says that glory, honor, and peace will be given to the man that works good. Good works. I need to be doing all I can do to engage in works that bring glory to God, that relieve the affliction of others, and that my friends will cause me to be well-pleasing to my Father which is in heaven. This lesson has been dedicated more to Christians, has it not? It's our responsibility, it's our job to be doing good works. Now we turn the page just a little bit. We exhort those who are not Christians to do so. The steps are simple, aren't they? Hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. That faith involves a faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, John 8:24. That faith moves me to repent, to die to an old way of living, an old life of sin. Luke 13:3. If I don't, I'll perish. I rise and confess that faith before men. For if I don't, my Lord Jesus Christ will not confess me before the Father in the last day. And then we're buried with our Lord in baptism for the forgiveness of sins. That's what the Jews were told on Pentecost, wasn't it? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2, verse 38. Do you need to do that this morning, dear Christian? Do you need to rededicate yourself? Ask God to forgive you of sin? Maybe you just need the prayers of this congregation. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?